time now, though, for Talkin' Books, Wednesday afternoon right here on the Hill. Talkin' Books made possible by La Vida Dolce Cafe in Southern Village. Stop by for an afternoon pick-me-up, enjoy a delicious nitro cold brew coffee, or indulge with a new gelato flavor. And, of course, don't forget to bring your favorite book. More on La Vida Dolce in a little while. They got their Tuesday book club as well, and we'll give you the book for that coming up at the end of our Talkin' Books segment, for which we are joined, as always, by Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library right here in Chapel Hill. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Awesome.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah. I am a little tiny bit under the weather. I think it's allergies. I hope it's allergies. It kind of doesn't matter at this point because I'm now on the upswing. So, like, whatever it is, I'm getting better from it. But,
that
time of year when people are starting to get the crud.
It's what I like to call the most wonderful time
of the year.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Because...
You know, not because people are getting the crud. The weather is perfecto.
Indeed.
The leaves at some point will start to change.
Right. I'm starting to see a couple of the leaves, like on tops of the trees, like start to think about it, right?
Well, and then I was driving somewhere in town. I want to say it was maybe over around Legion Road the other day. And then like one tree in a bunch had changed. I was like, what's up with that tree?
I'm a trendsetter. Get out of my way.
Right. So leaves are changing. Temperatures are falling. The other day, like I put like a sweater on, you know, there's like almost time for like hot cider.
Yeah.
And then like... blood and guts and gore and zombies and witches and Halloween.
Halloween, yay.
It's the time of year that makes me the happiest.
With like a whole ton of stuff. Yes. I've always, like, Halloween has always been a fun holiday for me. I never really, so the stereotype about the South and holidays is Thanksgiving, right? Like everyone really blows up Thanksgiving down here, and Easter as well. It's like a very, very big holiday tradition in the South. And both of those are true, but Halloween as well is especially in Chapel Hill, right? But, I mean, so many people down here just really get into the Halloween spirit, and I love it.
Yes, yeah. And what I love it is, so my boys are 11 and 14,
mm-hmm.
and the 14-year-old, I think this is the third year in a row that he said, Mom, I'm probably not going to trick-or-treat anymore.
Right.
After this year.
Right.
It's like, okay, kiddo. So
he's going to be 37 saying the same thing. Just drive from door to door. It's cool.
Well, the good thing about it is as they get older, their costumes often get less intricate. Like Mom is much less involved. So this year, I think he's planning on being Ferris Bueller.
Okay.
Which basically involves a pair of sunglasses, a shirt and a jacket that looks reasonably like Ferris's.
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah.
But then the danger is, and we've talked about this a lot, the danger is people might not think you actually have a costume on.
Right.
Then they won't give you candy.
Yes.
So there's got to be,
You've got to have a preparation for that. Like,
right.
No, I'm Ferris Bueller. You got to hold up a picture of Ferris
of
from
Ferris
the movie
Bueller,
and be like,
right.
Sing
a song from the movie or something, or like a good quote, right?
Or just drive their car out the back of their garage.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah. Anyway, so do you, like, dress up for Halloween?
I generally don't. So I will this year because WCHL is doing a thing.
What are y'all doing?
You'll see.
Okay.
So,
is this the Undead Radio?
Well, it's kind of the Undead Radio. Okay. Like we're doing an event on the air on Thursday night, but in person at the station on Thursday next week, we'll be dressing up as we've got like a theme for our staff costumes this year. So we'll do that.
Okay.
I generally don't like dressing up unless I have the perfect idea for a costume then and only then. So I reluctantly did it when we went to Florida this past, a couple of weeks ago. We went to Mickey's Halloween party at the Magic Kingdom in Disney World, and Brad really wanted to dress as Evan Hansen because we've just seen that show. He loves it. He also looks like Evan Hansen would look if
some
years to it. Yeah, so very easy costume for him. And then we thought about, what would a couple's costume be? So what other like major Broadway character would I dress up as? And we decided on Elder Price from Book of Mormon, which is a very easy costume to do because white
easy,
shirt, tie,
yes.
name tag, hello, my name is Elder Price. And it's perfect because not only is it an easy costume, if you know Book of Mormon, Elder Price loves Orlando. So the fact that I'm wearing
yes.
that costume in Orlando
is
really cool. Except the Magic Kingdom that day was full of Philistines, as it turns out, because no one recognized my Elder Price costume.
Joke?
Everyone thought I was Jim from The Office because he too wears a white shirt and a black tie.
Gotcha.
I had a name tag on people. A name tag. It did not say Jim.
Did
I'm still a little upset about that.
Recognize Evan Hansen?
They recognized okay. the heck out of Evan Hansen.
Right.
Yeah. Brad's still lording that over me to this
I
day.
I love it.
I did get a couple of like legit recognitions like, oh, Elder Price, I like it. But
okay.
yeah, not nearly as many as I would have liked. Anyway, Halloween.
There you have it.
Yeah. What are
Halloween.
Your Halloween? What, do you have Halloween traditions in your family or other than like the standard trick-or-treating?
We just go in the neighborhood.
Okay.
But our Halloween tradition is this. Neither of my children like chocolate.
Cool.
So we trick-or-treat, and I'm the kind of mom, I'm like, let's, like, five more streets, let's keep going. We stay out late, we trick-or-treat till the trick-or-treating is done.
Yeah.
Then we come home, and my kids dump out their pumpkins or their pillowcases, whatevs.
Right.
And they separate everything out. So they have a mountain of chocolate.
Right.
And, like, eight packs of Starburst.
And you get all the chocolate?
So then
nice.
They say, like, can
nice.
We eat all of our candy? And I'm like,
yeah,
sure. Like,
sure,
I'm the cool parent.
Yeah, of
eat
course.
All six packs of Starburst tonight. And then
you
James and
it.
I have, you know, like,
chocolate for days.
For like, a day.
Love it. All right, so Halloween
yes.
Is our prompt for book recommendations. What you got?
So as I believe I've done in the past, mm-hmm. I have brought a recommendation for each age range. So kids, teens, and grown-ups.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with, so I think in last year I brought a picture book, The mm-hmm. Halloweener, which is a great book. It's a really, really great picture book. But let's say you've advanced beyond the picture books. I was thinking, what's the next kind of scary level of book? And there's
right.
like R.L. Stine and Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Right.
But I want to highly, highly recommend Neil Gaiman's Coraline.
Oh, nice, yeah.
So many people know it. It's been made into an animated movie. There's a graphic novel version of it, but it was first published as a novel. And I would call this kind of dark fantasy for kids. And the premise of it, and it won all of the prizes that year from the horror prizes to the fantasy prizes. The plot of it is Coraline Jones and her family move into this new flat that is in this big old house that has been split up into flats.
Mm.
And she starts to meet her new neighbors, and some of them say things like, you know, don't go through the door. Which is very, like, weird and creepy. And there's a weird cat, too. And one day she finds this door in her flat, and she opens it up. And what's on the other side is a world that looks almost exactly like her world. And there's people there, like the other mother, who looks remarkably like her mother,
uh-huh.
And the other father. But they treat her, of course, like she wants to be treated. If she wants ice cream for dinner, the other mother will give her ice cream for dinner.
Nice.
And so she is intrigued by this world and drawn into it. But then, of course, as the more time she spends there, she realizes the sinister premise of that world and what trade-offs she might have to do and what that might mean. And that's all I'm going to say because
okay.
I don't want to give it away. But young Coraline learned some lessons like the grass is not always greener. Even when there's ice
yeah.
cream, but the grass is not greener on the other side of the door where the people with the buttons for eyes live. I'm just going to say,
yes.
that's not a spoiler, they have buttons for eyes.
What's the age range for this? Because I always thought it was like a tween, like 10 to 12 maybe.
Is it
younger, older?
As I've said, kids come into things when they're
right,
ready.
Right.
I think my younger kid read it in like third, fourth grade.
Okay.
I know some kids that don't come to it till like seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it like also depends. Some people are audio readers. Like when they read a book, they hear the voices. If you are a visual reader and when you read a book, you see the pictures, maybe this book isn't for you because the people with the button eyes can stick with you for a long time.
I can imagine. Like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, the illustrations, except,
yes.
yeah.
right.
Exactly.
Right, right.
Okay, so I'm gonna start with my recommendation for younger kids as well. And this is a Halloween classic, Bunnicula.
Oh, I love it.
Deborah and James Howe. And this was, I was looking this up before we went on the air. Deborah Howe passed away before the book came out. And then there was a series after that. So the two of them, I guess, wrote the original. Right. And then James kept the series going. But it's a fantastic, just a great Halloween classic about a bunny who may or may not be a vampire. And the kids who have to figure that out. It's great.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's one that is fun for that next younger rage down. Like, you're not really ready for true scary things.
Yes.
But, like, a creepy premise that all works out for the good in the end.
Yes.
Plus animals.
Yeah. Right.
It's all safe and fine.
Love it.
Okay, so my next book, I'm going up into the teen range. And this is a new book out. It's been out. It's been published in the past year. I grabbed it in the teen room off the shelf because I love the cover art. The book is called There's Someone Inside Your House, and it's by Stephanie Perkins. And it's got this great kind of neon pink title cover art. But so I thought of this one is if you like the Scream movies and any of these movies that are kind of self parodies of the genre,
right.
This kind of touches on that. And Stephanie Perkins has written some more kind of rom-com things, and she ventured into darker territory here. But the premise is a young girl, she moves in with her grandmother. She was raised in Hawaii, and she has to move to like Kansas or Oklahoma or somewhere out there, and life is totally different. And she's not really fitting in. And she starts to find some friends. And then one by one, students at the school start to die in some very gruesome ways. And so she has to sort of figure out what's going on. It's not like a full-on slasher kind of a novel, but it gets you into, like, there's a bit of that, but not quite as overt and awful as, like, the old 80s slasher movies. Paige Turner, really, really good, strong female lead, a little bit of romance, a lot of high school hijinks. I read it like in a day. It's a really,
nice.
Really fun book. And I think it would appeal to boys, to girls, to anybody from about 7th grade up to, I would say, 12th grade probably.
This is kind of a random question, but in an ordinary week, how many books do you read? You've got to keep up with so much.
I used to read a lot more.
Yeah.
So that's
you can't read everything.
Right.
So
I definitely read what I like. Mm-hmm. These days, and I often tend towards like YA stuff because I can finish it in a day or two,
yes.
And I feel very satisfied. I used to read like 2 or 3 books a week back in the day. Now I just binge watch Netflix a lot. I mean, I read YA novels.
Or both, you know.
Right?
Binge watch a Netflix series based on a YA novel and you're good to go.
I do have to say, I just finished the first season of Castle Rock, which is this Hulu Stephen King universe
like
anthology
mishmash
show.
Mishmash.
Yeah.
Like pastiche of all of them.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really like it. It's weird, but I really, really like it.
Awesome. So I'm gonna recommend one that I think I've recommended before. I think this is for kind of middle schoolers as well, but one of my favorite authors when I was in middle school was Avi. And he wrote a ton of great stuff, including some kind of creepy, scary stuff. Something Upstairs is a classic, but one that I'm going to recommend is The Man Who Was Poe, which I think I've recommended before. It's still to this day one of my favorite novels that I read growing up, and it still kind of holds up a bit if I go back to it as an adult, about a kid named Edmund who comes over from England to America with his sister and his aunt because they are searching for their mother who has come over to America and then gone missing. And then all of a sudden the sister and the aunt go missing as well, leaving Edmund alone. And he runs into this kind of mysterious guy who says his name is August Dupin and vows to solve the mystery of where Edmund's family went. And of course, August Dupin is in fact Edgar Allan Poe, who has taken on the persona of his detective. And this is towards the end of Poe's life, so there's a lot of biographical details about Poe as well. And he's not doing so hot personally.
Is he drunk
so
a lot?
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. But he's also in charge of this kid, so he has to like pick himself up and solve the mystery. And it's a great, it's creepy, it's spooky, it's mysterious, and it's, you'll learn a lot about Edgar Allan Poe, and it's just a fun read as well.
I love it. Okay, I've got one more.
Go for it.
This one's for the grown-ups in the room.
All right.
Where are they? Where? Grown-ups in the room.
Not in this room.
So we've talked about before, and in fact, we had the author of this book on the show with us, Grady Hendrix, and his book Paperbacks from Hell, which is a great nonfiction book. It's called Paperbacks from Hell, The Twisted History of 70s and 80s Horror Fiction. It's so good. So he did that book, which is like a cultural history of the paperback horror fiction from that time. And then since then, a small press in Virginia called Valancourt Books has started actually reprinting some of these out of print and hard to find paperback books. Grady Hendrix is actually curating some of them, the choices. So they're about to do round two. You can subscribe and get them like as a box kind of a thing. So I got the first round and I'm signed up for the second round and I'm working my way through them. So these are obscure, hard to find, but yet really, really good horror books. And I'm currently reading one called The Reaping by Bernard Taylor, and it's from the early 80s. It is so good. It is a slow burn. Like nothing really scary has happened yet, yet I keep turning the pages because there's this buildup. And the premise of it is this, he's an artist in England. His name is Tom Rigby, and he's widowed, and he's a single father, and he gets the chance to do this portrait commission at this old house in the English countryside. So he goes there, and things start to get kind of weird. Like, the old lady that lives there is very old and very weird. There are some young women that are dressed sort of like nuns that he occasionally sees on the grounds, but nobody will, like, really say what they're doing. It's very atmospheric. I'm about halfway through it. And again, nothing actually scary or gruesome has happened, but I can't stop reading it.
Love it.
So, The Reaping by Bernard Taylor, and really any of the Paperbacks from Hell series.
And that is Talkin' Books for this week. ChapelHillPublicLibrary.org for more information on the library. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, let's keep the conversation going. Join the La Vida Dolce Book Club every Tuesday at 5:30. Next week, the group will be discussing a really good story for Halloween, My Sister the Serial Killer by Oyinkan Braithwaite, over July. Gelato, wine, coffee, and more. The La Vida Dolce Book Club is open and welcome to all.